welcoming you back. You are now inside the Continental Exposure Studios universe. Hope that everyone is having a great new year. And I want to get into another instance of mic therapy. Mic therapy is one of the new segments that I am introducing this year to the platform as a whole. So just in case if there's any individual that can hear the sound of my voice and may have experienced some of the same things that I may talk about, hopefully this will help give you a leg up. Or if you know someone that is or has experienced some of the things that I will speak about in or on the mic therapy segments of the podcast, then feel free to be able to share this with them. So hopefully it can be of some sort of positive assistance to them. I'm going to get into it. And this is a continuation of Ain't Nobody Following Me Around. I will designate this as part two of this particular segment of mic therapy. And I decided to do it in this fashion so that I can be clear of it. I can begin to reconcile the reasonings why. I can finalize even letting it cross my mind, because it has been a very interesting vicissitude to have gone through, and a very interesting a very interesting storm, if you will. But I know that this is probably the one that, for all I know, is or has been probably pruning me for the next stage of my life. As, of course, most may know, I turned 51, surprisingly, in November. And I say surprisingly, not as if it's like I wasn't supposed to, but it doesn't feel like it. And even though 51 is not old, it really doesn't feel like it, even though that, yeah, some of the stresses that I may have gone through will definitely make me feel like 51. But I'm glad that I don't feel like it. I'm glad that I most assuredly don't look it. But I know that even with health and in all its forms, there are improvements that can and need to be made. And so me having the ability to be able to use my voice in order to be able to gain clarity with myself, most importantly, is pretty healthy and pretty therapeutic. And hopefully I can help somebody along the way. So as I explained back in part one, there was a great, the great lie that has been, that was incredibly told in regards to me sleeping with a woman. And in the instance of culture, if you will, a white woman by the name of Casey Goff. And the strangeness of it is that I know me. I know that I don't want what I don't want. I don't go where I don't think that I should be. And I will never involve myself in any instance with anybody that I know I don't want to be involved with. But it is the sensationalism that has compelled me the most and to try to gain the understanding as to why. I can understand the instance of protecting something precious. I can understand the instance of feeling like there is a need to be able to go through certain extremes in order to be able to protect something precious. And I get that, because when something precious and wonderful occurs in one's life, and you know that it is and has been as righteous, as gracious, and as beautiful as it can be, you would do anything in order to be able to hold on to that. But the gist of that is, when you know that you're not involved in something that you know you don't want to be involved with, you are not doing that. And I think that the time has come in order for me to be able to go ahead and make sure that I am clear of what I need to be clear of, because I know that in the midst of going through something like this, of which I have never experienced before, I know that it has caused me not necessarily any harm, but more so a complexity, if you will, about certain things. And I will get into more detail about those, but when you know that you are focused on a mission and you know what your objective is, there is nothing, depending upon your mentality, that would get in the way of that. And I'm going to take it back to the instance of going to Nashville, Tennessee for film school. And as a lot of you may know or may not know, there was a great inspiration that had occurred in order for me to take on such an endeavor. And even at 47, 48 years old, when that particular endeavor occurred, I think it was probably one of the more liberating things that I could have done, because who really thinks about doing something like that? And who really thinks about doing something like that at that particular age? But more importantly, you know, I get that everybody chooses their own legacy, but in the same sense, I felt like it was easy to do, to be able to expound on what was already getting done in the creative arena anyway, through my photography. And the great inspiration that came from that was the fire that lit, the spark that lit the fire, if you will. And going into another state, going into this particular arena, was one of the most beautiful things that I know that I've done. But also, the regret of that was being better prepared in order to be able to avoid certain vicissitudes as well, and especially such as this, because in the midst of moving there, there was one residence that was obtained, but also had to be returned due to the instance of funding, which came about from not properly obtaining employment, simply put. And I think that in the midst of having the ability to obtain employment, even though I was in film school, I would have avoided the whole instance of even having to think about, let alone go through such a vicissitude. But having to go into an apartment complex and having not knowing what I was going to run into in this fashion, it was just something different because, like I said, I already know what I was focused on. I already know what I wanted to do. I already know what was occurring, especially knowing that I was seeking to gain the knowledge of something that I had never expected to do. And knowing that I knew what I had to do, and there was no way on God's green earth that nobody was going to get in the way of that. So to me, staying focused was easy to do. It was easy to be able to get up, go to school in the morning, come back, everything was good. Was minding my business, not putting myself in any particular situations that I know that would not prove fruitful for me in any shape, form, or fashion. Because I know that once you start on certain endeavors, that is when, excuse me, the devil, if you will, tends to come into play. However, by even seeing and avoiding the instances of what the devil was doing or trying to do, or however you want to put it, it was easy to avoid because I know that I know what was and what is to come of that gaining of that knowledge. And to just even think about it, it gives me pause, but in the same sense, I'm glad that I'm having the ability to be able to give in detail and in full transparency, without fear of what you should avoid when you're on such an endeavor and what you have the ability to do in order to be able to sidestep it, jump over it, and do whatever it takes to make sure that you're maintaining your mission. So, how do you avoid something that you know you're avoiding or not wanting to be bothered with in the first place? Simply put, you do it. Let nothing or no one come in between you and your mission. And the first visualization of said individual is what began all of it, but it really didn't matter because I already was home, but also in the same instance, I already knew what my mission was. And that's all I wanted to do. But in the accusation of having placed myself in someone's apartment, in someone's bed, in someone's wherever, was the wall or the blockage or whatever that I never ever would have expected to run into. And the reason why I say that is because when you already know what you have and you understand what you have, then that's just it. There is nothing else that ever had the ability to get in the way of that. There is nobody else alive that has ever had the ability to be able to come in between that. And I think that looking back in retrospect, that was the part that began to dismantle a very small but very important section of the brain. And let me be clear, even though the brain is very powerful, the brain is very fragile too. So as this particular lie begins to build the avalanche type of momentum that it did, there were instances of experiencing the strangest things in order to be able to avoid something that was not even occurring. This particular person was supposedly walking in between buildings and fences in order to be able to look inside apartment windows and such, which never occurred. This person was supposedly inside of every particular residence, which never occurred. And this person was, like I said beforehand, supposedly following me in various vehicles from state to state, which never occurred. So I say that to say this: there is nothing worth lying about. There is nothing that is worth sensationalizing a lie for. There is nothing or no one that is worth the stress, the unnecessary stress, the unnecessary anxiety of speaking about, giving power to, in any shape, form, or fashion. And this person is not even and never has been around me, other than the fact of being a neighbor, an unknown neighbor, to be exact. So what would make one do such a thing to be able to try and protect the instance of something so wonderful, so precious, that it would take a vicissitude of this nature in in order to be able to protect it, if you will. Let me be the first to tell you, there's nobody alive that would ever have the ability to be able to dismantle your mission but you. However, when the enemy is unseen, then it takes on a totally different format. And what I mean is, when you have negative emotions that already are there, maybe lying dormant or whatever, or you just choose not to notice them, then this is how it occurs. And simply put, I don't know, blinded by whatever, blinded by the instance of a bleeding heart, blinded by the instance of love, blinded by a lot, to not be able to see clearly of what I was going to run into. But at least I can say, you know, it was done rightfully so, being blinded, because I already had tunnel vision on the mission. So the love, I didn't have to worry about. But then running into every instance of every unseen negative emotion, all the way up to and including mental triggers of even certain words being spoken, to begin the instance of the part of the nonsense that was and had occurred up to certain moments, certain days, and it just really didn't make sense. The point that I'm getting at on this particular leg of the segment, Mic Therapy, if you're just tuning in, continuation of the episode that I posted last year of Ain't Nobody Following Me Around, part one. Very amazing to have had the sunlight stopped shining on you. Very amazing to have had alarms rigged so it could perpetuate the unnecessary negative thinking that had occurred. Very interesting to just have had even seen something like that occurring with my own eyes, and never would expect it, because like I said, I was already home. And it didn't make a difference to me, because I felt like as long as I stayed focused on the mission, I did not have to look back and worry about anything going on inside the home. That's just what it was. But little did I know that I was kind of setting myself up to be able to be wrapped up in a very interesting hurricane that, you know, now has passed. And I get a chance to be able to recap the instances of how it got started, why it got started, so then that way I could be clear from it, so I can move on and continue on with the mission of my life and my legacy, and ensuring that it does not get interrupted with anything or anybody that I know that I didn't put myself in a position of being involved with in the first place. So I'll be continuing on with this particular episode until I close it out, and then once I close it out, I will move on, and not this episode, but this particular segment of Mic Therapy, if you will. Stay tuned. I will get deeper into the instances of unseen negative emotions in the next segment, and I will continue on with some of the, actually all of the examples that I know that I have been through. So then that way, if anyone is experiencing them or has experienced them, there is a clear understanding as to how, why, and for what reason that they may occur. Now, keep going. And you have just been inside the Continental Exposure Studios universe.